Now stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call on 94.7 WPVC-LP Charlottesville. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Now here's your host, Rick Moore.
Good morning. It is Sunday morning, March 5th. It is not Rick Moore. This is Sean McCord, your... Or as I have been now dubbed, the amazing Sean McCord. Thank you, Homegrown, for that introduction. It is Sunday, March 5th, your Sunday morning wake-up call. I'm your monthly substitute host, sitting across from Jane Kulo. Jane, good morning.
Good morning.
Jane is the, I want to get your title right. Is it just director? Is it esteemed director? Is it executive director?
Can't I be amazing, too?
Yeah, the amazing director of the amazing Virginia Festival of the Book. Celebrating its 23rd year this year, and also the center of the book. We'll talk a little bit about that in a little bit. My guest, Jane Kulo, who admitted to me before coming on air that she was a little nervous, but there's nothing to be nervous about. We're all among friends here. In fact, we are among friends. We're just out
absolutely
talking about family. It's like number 17 in a series of bring Sean McCord's friends onto the radio to talk about interesting things. And you want to talk about, we want to talk about, the Festival of the Book, which is coming up. Give us the dates, please.
March 22nd through 26th. So about 2.5 weeks away, Sean.
2.5 weeks away. So although everybody who listens to the show is esteemed and well-informed, remind us, what is the Festival of the Book?
So the Festival of the Book is Charlottesville and Albemarle and Virginia's five-day celebration of literacy, literature, reading, books, writing. We've been doing this for 20, this will be, as you said, our 23rd year. But every year, the authors are new, the conversations are new, the books are new.
Mm-hmm.
We put on programming for readers of every level, from pre-K to poet laureates, and we offer topics all across the genre, so whatever somebody might be interested in, we think we've got a program for them.
Cool. And we should say this several times, but I'll say it right up at the top. People want to find out information about the festival and about ticketing, which we'll get to in a second. Where do they go?
So we'd like them to go to vabook.org.
Mm-hmm.
Our schedule is published there. All of the participants are listed there. And it's, you can search that schedule by day, by venue, by topic.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got this feature that we now call a bookmark, it's, you know, close to a shopping cart
right.
and other things,
right.
where you can personalize your own schedule, print it out for yourself, or share it with friends via email or social media.
Yeah, it's actually very handy. I've played with it a few times. You go in and go, oh, that looks interesting. You click on it, it gets added to your cart. And you go back to your cart and you look at it and you go, oh, I can't possibly go to that many events.
Welcome to our world. Exactly.
Right.
I do it for myself. And then it's like, wait, who was the idiot that put those three programs at the same time?
And they go, oh.
That was me.
That was me. That is what a programmer wants, is to give you such a wealth of choices that you have a hard time deciding among good things
yes.
that you want to go to. So we'll highlight some of the good things, but they're all good. And how much does this cost for tickets, Jane?
So in 2017, we will put on 260 programs.
Mm-hmm.
100 or so of those are private. They're either in school visits or for a targeted audience. So that brings us down to 160. Out of those, 9 require a paid ticket. And a couple of those, the ticket is only $5. So we're doing 150 plus programs that are free for anyone to attend. All you have to do is show up.
Wait, this is live radio. I thought I heard you say free.
Yes, free. Free for all to attend.
So how do you get in?
So how do you get in as a speaker, or how do you get in as an attendee?
I mean, if you show up, I mean, aren't, you know, we're used to here in Charlottesville going to events that are sold out.
Yes. Well, and we do have a number of those sold out programs. But
uh-huh.
in terms of the free programs, you know, we never know. We try to program for the size of audience that we anticipate. We have a number of different size venues. If it's something that you think is going to be spectacularly popular, and we have a number of those,
sure.
show up early.
Right. That's it. Show up.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so vabook.org is the site where they can go to get the information about all the upcoming events and to fill their baskets. You mentioned private events. Let's just kind of hit a few of those first, and also authors in schools, because I think this is a particularly interesting twist of the Virginia Festival of the Book.
It's something that we put a lot of time into, we're very proud of, and I still think it's undersung. Mm-hmm. Because we do talk a lot about the headliner programs. We also promote heavily those programs that we need to sell tickets for. But every author that applies to come to the festival, we ask on their form, would you be willing to make a school visit? And most of them say yes.
Sure.
So then my colleague, Sarah Lawson, works with all of the regional schools, so public and private. And this year, actually, we went as far as Waynesboro to see if they would invite authors in. And sometimes it might be a classroom visit. It might be a writing group, you know, with maybe 10 or 12 students. With some schools, it might be a full school assembly. But we arrange for that, and then those students have the opportunity to see a live author. And for some of them, that's really a transformational moment.
Absolutely. I mean, to go from reading books at home, reading books in the library, reading books in classes, to actually meeting someone who is an author, I will bet more than one child thought to themselves, oh, that's something people do?
Hey, maybe I could do that.
Exactly.
Maybe I could write a story. What is my story? Mm-hmm. We love having that kind of a conversation or imagination going on in those classrooms.
I remember when Rick Moore came to my second grade class, and I thought, wow, someday I can grow up to that's a lie.
Is he listening?
But actually, someone did come to my like third grade class who ran the local AM radio, and I actually can trace my interest in radio back to that. So the dates again, it starts Wednesday, March 22nd. Do I have that right?
You do.
And runs through Sunday, March 26th. People can go to vabook.org to find out more about the festival. What's your big opener on that Wednesday?
Our big opener Wednesday morning, 7:30, bright and early, is Stuart Feierstein. Mm-hmm. So he's an interesting character, Sean. He started his professional career as an actor. And then at some point, he went back to school. And for his second career, he's now the chair of neurobiology at Columbia University.
Sure.
He's given a TED Talk. He studies the how smell works in your brain. But what we're asking him to talk about is his latest book.
I love the way you put that. You didn't say how brains smell.
Well, his TED Talk, he does talk about farts, but we won't go into that. His first book actually was called Ignorance. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that he says is, if you really want to know what a scientist is interested in, don't ask him or her what they're working on. Ask them, what do you not know? Because that's, you know, that gets their minds racing and gets them off and running. His second book is called Failure, Why Science is So Successful. So we're just enthralled with this idea of having somebody come into the leadership breakfast and focus on failure and why it's so important.
Tell us about the leadership breakfast.
So that's held at the Omni. It's that is a ticketed event. It's a $40 ticket. That's co-hosted by the Charlottesville Regional Chamber of Commerce and the Charlottesville Business Innovation Council. And the executive director of CBIC, Tracy Green, will actually introduce Stuart Feierstein, and then she will offer questions as a moderator afterwards, and then questions from the audience.
Is it really at 7:30 in the morning?
It really is. But the breakfast is great.
Okay. So one of our regular yearly guests is Jody Kielbasa, the Vice Provost for the Arts and Director of the Film Festival. And we'll, in a little bit, I kind of want to save for the end, the big event that's kind of the cooperation between the Film Festival and the Book Festival and the Provost for the Arts. But when he comes on, you know, the Film Festival brings a lot of, like, high-profile celebrities.
Absolutely.
People that everybody has heard of.
Yes.
Whereas in the book world, you kind of have to be into books. Books is a culture of its own to know who the big authors are.
Mm-hmm.
Having
Perhaps.
Said read the New York Times review of the books, sure. et cetera. So who are the people coming in, the authors coming in, or people from the book world that people are going to sit up and go, ooh, that person.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to give you a couple of answers to mm-hmm. that. First, I'm going to answer that question, which is for people that pay attention to the book world, you know, somebody like Laura Lippman, who is coming in for the Crime Wave brunch on Saturday, will get them really excited. That program is sold out, but they should look at the Friday night Crime Wave program. Megan Abbott, Bill Beverly, and John Hart. It's just a stellar lineup.
I've heard of two of those people.
There you go. And also in major fiction, we've got Carolyn Levitt is coming in on Saturday morning. Caitlin Greenidge. Caitlin's got, this is her debut book. It's called We Love You, Charlie Freeman. But we had to change her schedule in the festival because she is receiving some, unknown to me, major award that week. We originally had her scheduled another day, and we were able to shift her to still get her to come. Another really fantastic novelist that, you know, perhaps is not as well known, but is doing fantastic work. Marcy Dermansky is coming with her book, The Red Car. Then we've got this is one of the things that we take a lot of pride in. We will bring in names that are super well-known, but we will also bring in authors with their first book because we think it's important to introduce those authors that we think are going to have a long and stellar career. So some of those, Emily Fridland has a book called History of Wolves, and she is in a program with two other debut authors. Jung Yun has a book called Shelter, and Viet Dinh has a book called, I'm not going to remember that. But the three of them are they're all debut authors, but very well received, very well reviewed. And I think we're going to hear a lot more from them.
So I want to point out that you're doing this from memory. You don't have a program guide in front of you.
If I had a guide in front of me, I might have known the name of that book.
So you stumbled on the one book, but you're rattling off names of authors, not only names of authors, but when they're going to be and where they're going to be.
So
it's very impressive.
If this were a video podcast,
I
would ask you to bring up a photograph of the schedule board mm-hmm. on our office wall. It's all done with post-it notes, you know, as we shift things around through the winter. But now it has to be locked in. And we have lived with these books and these authors and these times for a long time.
Sure.
But I want to go back to your question, which is, you know, who is well known to people that follow the book world? One of the things that we do a lot with the festival is also bring in people that would be of interest to those who don't follow the book world,
mm-hmm.
to the local running community. For example, we think they would love to come and hear Frank Shorter, the Olympic marathoner. You know, for the people that are very involved in Charlottesville's meditation communities, we've got a meaning and mindfulness program on Wednesday night. For the people that are really interested in what mass incarceration looks like, on Wednesday night, also at 6 p.m. at the Northside, we've got a VCU prof bringing in the authors who contributed to an anthology. He went into prisons and worked with them on their memoirs and published a book. And I think it's called Memoirs Against Mass Incarceration, but they are coming to talk about their work. So there are a lot of approaches you can take to this festival. You can come as a reader, as somebody who really, really loves books and writing, or you can come as somebody who just is interested in perhaps nuclear proliferation and what is happening now.
And that's actually a perfect segue to what I wanted to bring up next, was how when someone can go through the book festival, you mentioned if you go to the festival website, which is vabook.org, you can select by times and dates. You can select by venues. It's like, I want to be downtown, or I already have parking at the university. I'd like to be there. But you can also pick by topic, genre.
Topic, and it's also listed by genre, and it also is listed by tags.
Right.
So, for example, if you're a member of a book group, and you're thinking, you know, which of these programs would be really interesting for our book group to go to? We've highlighted a number of those, and knowing that every book group is different, Some of them are brand new books that are hardcover. Some of them are books that have been around that are just out now in paperback. And some of them are topics that really promote discussability. And then there's a program on Saturday, and this goes back to the book-loving program. David Denby, who wrote for The New Yorker for many years, has a book called Lit Up, mm-hmm. and talking about books that inspire us. And Beth Ann Patrick, who was the person behind the Friday Reads hashtag on Twitter, has written a book that's a collection of essays by people about the one book that they love the most. So they'll be talking at JMRL Central with Krista Farrell, who's the head the branch librarian there. I think that's at 2 p.m. on Saturday, March 25.
You think.
I think. It's 2 or 12. I think it's 2.
Yeah, you're pretty sure. So what is a book festival event? If someone who is listening for the first time now.
That's such a great question.
Or they're new to Charlottesville, or they're new to books, would say, okay, so you have a guy or gal who's written a book, and they've got a book festival. So what do we do? I mean, maybe their only previous association is like going to a bookstore and the author is behind a table signing books. What happens at a book festival panel?
So we have sort of a typical profile of a festival program, mm-hmm. and then we have so many that are others. I'll just walk you through a few.
Yeah.
But the very typical program is two or three authors whose books are somewhat related. And with fiction, it might be a little bit of a theme. With nonfiction, it might be various perspectives on one take. You know, we have a program that when we started working on this last fall, we thought it was more historic than anything. It's about U.S., USSR relations. Of course, now we sort of need to tag that as current events. But the two of the authors look at behind the scenes discussions with between Reagan and the USSR, and the other is just a little bit of a different time frame. And the other one is a history of Trotsky in New York in the early 20th century. So they will be talking about their books, along with one of our board members, Mark Habib, who is a professor at Georgetown and has been in the Foreign Service world for decades. So we get multiple perspectives about one topic. Now, mm-hmm. ideally to us, when the three of those authors come to town, they start talking about their books and they talk about the overlap of what they're doing. They also talk about what they've learned since or what they didn't get into the book. You as an audience member get so much more out of that program than if you just sat in your library at home reading the three books.
Or even if you just had an author go up and read excerpts from his book in front of
exactly.
a microphone. You're getting two or three people, getting a panel of people who might not even have met before, but who have intersections in their interests and what they write about, and have a conversation. And you are privileged to be a part of that conversation between really smart people.
You get to be a part of it. You get to hear the authors' voices, you know, what really went into their thought process. And you get to ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very often we will hear from in our evaluations that we receive from the attendees that the program was great and their responses to the questions was even better.
Right.
You know, we have a program on Saturday at noon that's being co-hosted by Amnesty International and the Charlottesville Center for Justice and Peace.
Peace and Justice.
Peace and Justice, thank you. That brings together a woman named Karen Stelson, who was longlisted for the National Book Award for a biography of a survivor of Nagasaki, Sashiko. And then we have Susan Southard, who won the Dayton Literary Peace Prize for her history of Nagasaki, just called Nagasaki.
Mm-hmm.
And the third book on that program is a Washington Post reporter by the name of Dan Zak, who took a look at the protection around our nuclear arms facilities and what is being done and how carefully guarded they may or may not be. So that's a case in point where when we put that program together, both Susan Southard and Karen Stelson said, oh my gosh, we've been dying to meet each other. This will be our first chance.
Nice. This is Sean McCord. My guest is Jane Kuhlow, the director of the director of the Center for the Book, and the we'll get into that in a second, and of the Virginia Festival of the Book. You're listening to The Wake Up Call. It is a Sunday morning wake-up call. This is Sean McCord. My guest is Jane Kuhlow, the director of the Virginia Festival of the Book. And forgive me for stumbling over that last time. But we have a lot of fun that this is the Festival of the Book. Let's continue your talk about sort of the format of the different panels, and then I want to sort of pull the camera back and talk a bit more about the festival itself. But continue.
Sure. So we talked before the break about the typical festival program, you know, mm-hmm. two or three authors with a moderator. But we also have major programs. For example, we've got a series of programs on economic inequality. And just one of those will be a keynote by Joseph Stiglitz. This is a Friday night program. Actually, I'll take one quick step back. We were approached by this is an organically grown program from the community. Mm-hmm. We were approached by the Center for approached by the Clergy and Laity United for Justice and Peace. They wanted to do something, a series of programs about economic inequality, and they thought that the Festival of the Book was the best place for that. For purposes of, you know, we have the venue, we can convene a conversation, and it will be civil. So this is a series of programs that starts at 4 p.m. with a typical program. Three authors who have written books on toxic inequality, the corporations that profit from the poor, such as for-profit prisons and others, and then also a woman with a book called Coming Up Short, which is the effects of economic inequality on the young adults, you know, who's trying to start their lives. So that's at 4 p.m., and it's moderated by Frank Sesno. Now, he was an anchor for CNN. Mm-hmm. He's currently the head of the Media Studies Department at George Washington University. So that program's at 4 o'clock at the Jefferson School African American Heritage Center. At 7 o'clock at the Martin Luther King Performing Arts Center, Friday, March 24th, Joseph Stiglitz will speak, and he will give a keynote. And then Frank Sesno will join him on stage for a moderated discussion, and then they'll take questions from the audience. And then our partners in this, the Clergy and Laity United for Justice and Peace, will convene community conversations. So people in our region, if they're moved to take action, they can come together and figure out what to do. So that's a very different kind of program. So in addition, my first festival, the first festival I was a director of in 2015, we put on a program at Seville Coffee that had books and music and beer. And we had a blast.
Yeah, so well, sure, there's beer.
We did that again last year. We called it Reading Under the Influence. This year, Reading Under the Influence will be held Friday night at 9:30 at the Ante Room. And University Professor Jack Hamilton, who has a book called Around Midnight, mm-hmm. that's about the history of rock and roll and soul music, and how it started black and shifted white, and all of the issues related to that. He will talk about his book in a conversation, and then Robin Tomlin, half of the Grits and Gravy DJ group, will come in and play music. So we've got, you know, first time our sort of after hours dance party at the festival. So Friday night, 9:30 at the Ante Room. The program is free.
Because nobody parties like book nerds.
Exactly.
So you mentioned your partners with the Clergy and Laity United for Economic
Justice and Peace.
Thank you. And I think that's another unique aspect of the Festival of the Book, which you can find out about by going to vabook.org. Is working with other groups. So you said this particular program grew organically. How does that happen? Do people approach you? Do you have long-time relationships with them? How does that work?
Sure. So there are some community organizations that we do have long-time relationships. The Josh Wheeler, you know, the director of the Thomas Jefferson Center for Protection of Free Expression, is always helpful in putting a program on and moderating that program. The TJ Center for Adult Education, this year for their 21st year, they will put on a program called Voices of Adult Learners. And that they've put together a collection of writing by people that have learned to read as adults. Now, whether they're learning to read for the first time or they're learning to read English for the first time, but they put that collection together and ask them to read at the festival. It's an incredibly moving program, and we're proud to be partners with them. So the festival this year, I think we have more than 200 community partners. And those may be organizations that just help promote a program. The Charlottesville Free Clinic is helping us to promote a program on nutrition. Center for the Clergy and Laity United for Justice and Peace wrote us, sent me an email last spring just after the festival and said, this is what we're interested in. We'd like to talk. And it was an extremely ambitious program. They wanted to get Joseph Stiglitz, a Nobel laureate in economics. And when somebody sets their goals that high, my initial response is to try and tamper down expectations. Yeah. Yeah. But in this case, we're just thrilled that he accepted our invitation, that he's coming to town. We typically hear from a number of community organizations that would like to host a program. They would like to hold it in their location. Sometimes that works, but a lot of times, because we are so tightly funded and tightly staffed, that's really 2.5 people that are putting on a festival of 260 programs.
That's amazing.
We can do this because we've got an army of volunteers and excellent volunteer site coordinators at the venues that we most often use. So proposing something as sort of a one-off that we don't have in our system sometimes won't work. But we will always ask those communities if they will help us engage with their community as well.
How many venues are you presenting in this year?
Oh, I think it's about 80. I'm not sure.
Really?
Yes. But that includes 43 schools.
Yeah, well, okay. All right. Fair enough. Still, that's all. And I need to point out, as we keep mentioning, the website is vabook.org, that this is the Virginia Festival of the Book. It's not the Charlottesville Festival of the Book. It's not the University Festival of the Book. It's not the Thomas Jefferson Festival of the Book. You don't sell tickets, but you must have some idea of how many people come into town and how many people participate.
So for the last, I would think it's 13 years, we've brought more than 20,000 attendees to the festival. Last year, we were just a hair under 25,000.
Wow.
So 24,986 attendees in the 2016 festival.
You're very good with numbers.
Well, that one, that one stuck with me. So we know that the 3/4 of those attendees are from within an hour of the festival. So about 27% come from further than an hour away. And I think out of that, it's about 13 or 14% that are out of state and further abroad. Mm-hmm. We have a couple from a darling couple from San Francisco that flies in for the festival every year. They chanced upon us a few years back and they've come back every year.
Oh, that's delightful. And as director, Jane Kulo, director of the Virginia Festival of the Book, since I hadn't mentioned my guest name in a few minutes, how do you get people like Joseph Stiglitz and Frank Cessna if they don't already have a relationship with the Festival of the Book?
Sure. We reach out to authors in any way that we think will work.
Mm-hmm.
We have ongoing relationships with a lot of publishers,
sure,
a lot of publicists, a lot of agents. We will start with them. Somebody like Professor Stiglitz, he's a professor at Columbia University, and his email address is readily available on his columbia.edu page. We sent a direct invitation, and we were very, very fortunate, one, that appealed, but two, our schedule just happened to work.
Sure.
And a lot of times, when I started in this job and I would send out an invitation, I would sweat over it. You know, it might be a 2-page letter attached to an email and all of the excellent reasons they should come. And one of the things that we learn is the first question is, does it fit into the schedule?
Yeah.
So now that invitation is 2 or 3 paragraphs in an email. We give them a lot of information about the audiences we attract especially how engaged this audience is. There's nothing an author wants more than an audience that will listen and then will respond and ask engaged questions.
Yes.
And we have that in spades.
Yes.
At the Virginia Festival of the Book. And then the question is, you know, really, can they afford to come? And that's where it's a really tough thing, because we're trying to get them to come on their own dime, if they can.
Because you don't have any dimes.
Because we have very few dimes. We try to get them to come on the publisher's dime.
Sure.
And when we can get an author with a brand new book on tour, mm-hmm. a lot of times that will happen. But one of the things that we're trying to do, Sean, is didn't plan to make this a commercial, but we've just launched something called the Authors Fund.
And tell us about that.
So specifically, the festival receives some funding from our parent organization, the Virginia Foundation for the Humanities. Through VFH, we get some funding from the NEH, which is such an important part of America's life, you know, culture. We also
make a shout out for federal funding for the arts.
Thank you. We also get some funding from the state. We get some funding from the University of Virginia President's Office. We write a lot of grants. We look to corporate sponsors. And we also do our best to raise funds from individual donors.
Mm-hmm.
So as a part of trying to make it clear what a lot of the money that we need goes for, we've launched something called the Authors Fund. And that is to help support our work in recruiting those authors. So if somebody applies to us, our form says you're responsible for making your own way here. But if we're reaching out and recruiting, and especially if we're trying to get diverse authors or debut authors, if we're trying to get them to come, we've sent an invitation. Of course, they feel like we should pay part of their way.
Yeah.
So the Authors Fund is a way that people can help ensure we have the means to bring in excellent authors, whether they're up and rising, up and coming, or whether they're of Joseph Stiglitz status.
And so I assume anybody who wants to find out about the Authors Fund can find out
at vabook.org.
Excellent. Why, this is kind of a silly question, but I'm sure you can ask this. Why is it the Festival of the Book and not a book festival?
I don't know.
Okay.
24 years ago, people in this community decided that this is a community that could support an important literary arts festival. And they named it Virginia Festival of the Book. And that's what it's been ever since. I'm just proud to be a part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Good answer. And just to echo what you said a couple of minutes ago about Charlottesville audiences, because I think anybody who's considering coming to a festival or who hasn't been to the Festival of the Book, that's my favorite part about it, is you get really engaged audiences who are really sort of swept up in the conversation, and they, you know, it's more than just an opportunity to talk to a famous author or to hear yourself speak. The Charlottesville audiences, I see, are just particularly keen on asking smart, challenging, interesting questions of your panelists that are part of the conversation.
And, you know, the other really great thing about festival audiences, they don't want a single perspective program. We have had, you know, upon occasion, we will bring just one author in on a topic, or, you know, as it happens, we might have two or three authors and one had to cancel, or, you know, and we end up, so it's just one author. And we take the evaluations that the attendees write up very seriously. We get slammed for that. They would much prefer, even if they don't agree with the other perspectives, they would much prefer to hear different topics discussed across a broad spectrum of opinions than just somebody saying, this is how it should be.
Right.
I love that.
Right. So you have several ways of involving the community as a whole. You bring authors and put them in the schools, mm-hmm. as we talked about. You work with local organizations, community groups. We mentioned the number of people who come from out of town to visit, but let's talk a little bit about the programs you use to engage people in town.
Oh, sure.
People who are already here.
Sure. So this year, it turns out we have a long list of what I think of the community of writers.
Mm-hmm.
I'd already mentioned the Voices of Adult Learners. The Women's Initiative hosts an essay contest every year called Challenge into Change, asking their communities to submit essays related to how they approached a challenge in their lives. And then we have brought in an author. We give them a few options, and they've chosen an author who's written a memoir about the very same topic. And so their program will be the author talking about her book and then the essay contestants reading their own as well.
Now, when people submit essays, are they asked if they're comfortable getting up in front of an audience and reading?
I think it's very clear. But, you know, it's interesting. So at our opening ceremony every year, this is held at noon at the central branch of the library mm-hmm. in the McIntyre Room. And we feature the Virginia winners of a statewide letter writing competition. It's called Letters About Literature. And these are students in grades 4 through 12 who have written a letter to the author of their favorite book or
nice.
A book that moved them, living or dead.
Mm-hmm.
It could be Dear Mark Twain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's statewide. And then the three different grade levels, those winners are invited to read their letters at our opening ceremony, and then their letters are submitted on for national competition. So this past year, 2016, one of our letter winners was determined that he would not read, and his parents were just as determined that he should read, and tears ensued.
Oh.
And he was a delightful young man, and he'd written a beautiful letter. And our opening ceremony speaker was the then Secretary of Education for Virginia, Ann Holton,
mm-hmm.
who has infinite experience in dealing
Absolutely.
With situations like this. And she was so gracious, and she asked him if she could read his letter for him. He said yes, and would he be willing to stand beside her while she read? It was beautifully done. So if somebody enters a competition, we hope that they know what the options are, but we're not going to force them. On Tuesday night of the right before the festival, we annually feature the winners of the middle school and high school poetry and prose competition. Let me just see. There's also the Wednesday night of the festival at the Transit Center that Bus Lines poetry readers will read.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what else.
I think my oldest daughter read at one of those events many years ago. The festival, we should mention the dates again, because I haven't for a while, starts
Wednesday, March 22nd, and it goes to Sunday, March 26th.
Yes, that's right. Of course you're right. You've been staring at those dates for...
Yes.
For
or as I prefer to say, we know the train is going to leave the station Wednesday, March 22nd, and we will be ready or not. We have known that for 51 weeks.
Coming up in about a minute, having to take another break, so I don't want to ask a question that's going to take too long, but the festival, we talked before you came on air, you want the festival to continue to grow, but not grow out of hand. Are people still reading? I mean, are people still buying and reading and cherishing books?
Yes.
Excellent. when we come back, we'll do this a little early. When we come back, I want to have a conversation about ebooks, and then we'll continue on spotlight some of the events that you particularly want to focus on. My guest is Jane Kuhlo, director of the Virginia Festival of the Book. This is Sean McCord hosting the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call. This is Sean McCord, Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call. My guest, Jane Kuhlo, the director of the Festival of the Book. Jane, we're family friends. You know my wife. I don't recall if you've been in my house.
Yes.
But
your wife taught my children music lessons.
That's right. That's right. So you may have seen my library.
Yes.
I have the book disease. Mm-hmm. I have many, many, many books.
There is no cure for that, Sean.
Well, there is no cure for that, but there are ways to moderate it. And the past few years, I've been, this may horrify you, but I've been buying less physical books and reading more ebooks mm-hmm. on the various ebook readers. because I still enjoy reading, but you know, there's, I mean, there is something about seeing a favorite book on a shelf. It's like, oh, I remember reading that, you know, and that, you know, where I was at the time, and you know, has a certain, you know, it has certain weight of its own, but they take up a lot of space and they have to be dusted. And I've been actually, I work at the university library now, and I have been, it's a little hard, but I've been giving some of my books to the library, mm-hmm. knowing that other people can read them. So how is a Festival of the Book dealing with this way we read now?
Mm-hmm. So what we care about is that you read.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what we have to offer at the festival is that face-to-face engagement with the authors. Now, what we have to sell at the festival are the actual physical books.
Right.
But we don't care if you buy ebooks. What we care about is that you're an engaged citizen. So everybody has to deal with this. I mean, JMRL, Jefferson Madison Regional Library, its programming is paid for by the book sales of JMRL Friends.
Mm-hmm.
So we end up, you know, with the festival, those author applications that come in, they have to send us two copies of the book so we can read it. And then at the end of the festival, we have lots of books left, both books that were in the festival and books that were not. And we promise to the authors we'll put those in the hands of readers.
Nice.
So a bunch of those go to the library itself, into its system. We ask them to come in and take what they can use. The ones that they can't use go to either JMRL Friends or Books in Baskets or Loaves and Fishes. Loaves and Fishes, they also handle out books, and Books on Bikes. So one way or another, we're putting those books in the hands of readers. But yes, it is an issue for those people that read a lot. We love when people use the library and check out books. We love when people buy physical books. We love when people buy ebooks.
You mentioned 15, 20 minutes ago, when we were talking about bringing the Authors Fund and bringing authors in, you mentioned bringing in a diversity of authors.
Yes.
So how, what is Book Festival doing this year to bring in minority authors, authors of color? Is that a word?
Well, it's interesting, you know, what sort of language you use, whether it's underrepresented
mm-hmm.
or underserved communities.
Mm.
But certainly, authors of color, authors of diverse backgrounds, immigrant backgrounds, you know, this is something that we pay a lot of attention to. I don't know if you had the opportunity to see Junot Diaz when he was in town. He was here last fall for the NEH 50th anniversary, and then he was also here as a writer in residence at the University of Virginia.
He was in my building, Jane.
Oh, he was fantastic.
Yeah.
But one of the things that he said during one of those talks was, until he was in college, he did not think that he was lovable, because he is an African Caribbean descent, and any love story he ever saw were white people.
Right.
So how could love come into his life if he didn't see it on the big screen, or if he didn't read it in the book? And we know from authors that we have talked to about when an author from an underrepresented background, when he or she first saw himself or herself in a book, it's truly life-changing. So we think that our community of readers should include everyone in our community.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be very easy for us to, you know, we get a lot of books submitted, and, you know, a lot of them are very, very popular names. But in order for us to be representative to our community, we need to go out and seek voices that might not be heard otherwise. So one of the programs that focuses on that Saturday morning at the Village School is actually in partnership with a national organization called We Need Diverse Books. And it focuses on children's books and young adult authors from diverse backgrounds, and getting those books into the hands of students. So Meg Medina, who's Cuban-American, she lives in Richmond. She's a fantastic author. She will moderate it, and Suman Chainani and Ellen Oh will be on the panel. And Ellen Oh is the president of that organization, We Need Diverse Books. We have a number of authors who are either first generation or immigrants themselves. Oki Ndibi has written a book about, he's Nigerian and then came to the United States, and he's written a very funny memoir about what that's like. We also have an author, her name is Yawande Omotoso, and she is actually a South African resident now, but she's in the U.S. for this semester as a writer in residency, a writer in resident. And she is coming with a novel that is about two elderly women who live next door to each other that could be women we know.
Uh-huh.
But the questions of race, one is black, one is white, it's set in South Africa. It's a fascinating novel and just great. She'll be here. So we really celebrate the opportunity to bring in a variety of voices.
And can you, I mean, we talked about the number of people that attend the festival, both locally and come in from elsewhere. Talked about the amazing number of venues that you have. You're bringing authors into school. Are there still pockets where you're looking at where you think, locally, these are people that we need to reach out to more, and this is an area where, because I've been to a lot of these events. They get pretty crowded. You can run out of seats mm-hmm. very early on. Is there room for bringing more people in?
Oh, sure. In any given program, you know, there might be a program. Somebody called me recently about coming down from D.C. for a program on Friday at City Council Chambers that mm-hmm. holds 132 people. And or actually, this might be at City Space, which holds 100 people.
Get it right, Jane.
With more room for standing room only. And this is a program called Battles Worth Fighting. So it includes an author, Patricia Hruby Powell, who's written a book about Loving versus Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
It includes Anya Shiffrin, who has edited a book, 100 Years of Global Muckraking, about journalism. And then Jim Obergefell. And Jim Obergefell has a book called Love Wins. And he is the plaintiff in the U.S. Supreme Court case on gay marriage.
Yes.
And he's going to talk about that. So and also that Obergefell case cited the Loving case. So
right.
There's, you know, great tie in there. We think that'll be really popular. If somebody is interested in that, I would say get there early. But we also have a number of programs that we know will have plenty of seating, and there's always room for more.
So your kids, I have kids, all about the same age. Kids these days grow up with a lot of distractions. I mean, they do have e-books, but they can also watch movies on their 5-inch phones that they carry around, which my son does constantly, and it drives me crazy. I said, why are you watching that on a 5-inch screen when you could be streaming it on the big TV that you begged us?
You and I could talk about that for
right.
a long time.
Yeah, yes, I'm sure we could. So my point being, there's all these distractions. We kind of stepped on this a few minutes ago before the break, but with all these distractions, are we raising a generation of readers still? And how do you fit that? How cognizant are you of that challenge in your programming at the Festival of the Book?
Oh, we're very, very much aware of that. And we focus on that with some of the topics we bring in and also some of the authors we bring in.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we try to do is connect with those young people. You know, sometimes it's through teachers, sometimes it's through professors, and say, what is it, who is it that they want to hear? And we know that there are a bunch that are not paying attention necessarily to books, but once again, we want to get them through the topics. There's a program Friday morning at Barnes & Noble at 10 o'clock about the climate change generation.
Mm.
You know, and the one book is, I think the subtitle is Climate Change Generation. It's a collection of essays about how young people are approaching this. And the other book is by a UVA prof who was a professional soccer player, and he's written about Heidi Klotz, and he's written about sustainability through soccer. You know, so there are different ways that we try to reach them.
I just want to point out to people who are listening who are unacquainted with Charlottesville that you just mentioned a university professor who is a professional soccer player and has written a book.
Yes.
That is so Charlottesville.
Yes.
Right there. So I'm bringing up my notes here. Hey, in addition to the website vabook.org, where do people get hold of an actual physical program?
Actual physical programs are available on the Friday before the festival. They are distributed on the Sunday before the festival, Sunday, I think that's March 19, through the Daily Progress.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you subscribe or whether you pick it up at a newsstand, our 48-page printed schedule will be in the Daily Progress. We also get about 4,000 copies of that the Friday before, and we distribute that to the major venues. So if you don't want to bookmark at vabook.org your schedule, if you want to wait for the paper schedule and pull out your highlighter,
right,
that's when it's available.
Right. Or you've made your own bookmark, but you don't want to print it out.
Correct.
And pick up a schedule. One of the speakers I'm really interested in hearing about, I'm treading on this one carefully, is I saw Sue Klebold's TED Talk. It was very difficult to watch. I mean, just the emotion that you want to, that all this stirs up for. I mean, I'm sure people over a certain age, that name will sound familiar. Her son, Dylan Klebold, was one of the shooters at
Columbine.
Thank you, Columbine. I blanked out on the name of the school. And she, you know, that she gave a TED Talk talking about the last thing that she said to her son before he left for school that morning, and what she's had to deal with and her guilt, and the people who are coming, you know, who look at her and think that she must be culpable somehow. She must share some responsibility. She is speaking. Well, I'm going to look it up, but you're going to be able to tell me
faster. At 1 o'clock at the Cobra Theater on Sunday, March 26th. So that's another community-driven program.
Yeah.
Anna Mendez, who's the executive director for Partner for Mental Health here in Charlottesville, saw Sue Klebold speak at a national conference for Mental Health America, and she came back determined to bring her to Virginia.
And I think that's important. What she's talking about, because I may not have made it clear, she's not talking about Columbine. She's talking about mental health.
And she's an advocate, her book is beautifully done. She's an advocate for mental health awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And what she focuses on is that intersection of mental illness and violence, which is certainly what took place in Columbine and tore her family apart.
And something of a reluctant advocate, but her story, that she should be part of this just astonishing tragedy, and instead of retreating to the mountain somewhere,
yeah,
saying, okay, this is something front and center that I need to deal with, that she has learned about. She learned about as a mother, and now is trying to go out and educate other people on these issues.
That's a free program. Mm-hmm. And Colbreth for fire hazard, they require a ticket. But you can reserve a ticket in advance by going to vabook.org. There's a link to Colbreth box office, but it's totally free.
Hey, let's make a, since we're on the radio, and since Dan Gould is sitting behind me, thank you, Dan, for being here today. Dan Gould of the Charlottesville Podcast Network. Some of these events are recorded for podcast.
Yes.
And they're posted on Sivo Podcast Network. I'll be recording all the events that take place in the auditorium of the Harrison Institute and Small Special Collections Library where I work. We were just talking before the show about some of the past events. So if people there are panels that they just can't go to because they can't reach the venue in time, or there's something else that they need to go to. Some of them are recorded for podcasts later on.
Yes. Also, any of the programs that are held at Charlottesville City Council Chambers are video recorded and available on our website after the festival. And they're also broadcast on the public access TV station. Mm-hmm. And typically, we don't know yet which programs they'll do, but typically Book TV comes to town and records a number of programs
C-SPAN.
Broadcasts and makes those available as well. You know, there's another thing for people that can't be in two places at one time, which all of us. This year, we have held for many years something called a book fair in the atrium of the Omni on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And this year, we've thrown that out. We've got something completely new called a lit fair, and it's university press, small press, literary magazines, and writer resources that will have exhibits and things to sell. But in addition, a couple of our booksellers are going to bring in books from programs that have been held elsewhere, and we've had the authors come in for an additional signing. So if you're interested in hearing Brennan Wolf talk about Finding Bix, his book on Bix Beiderbecke, but you can't be at the Harrison Institute on noon on Thursday, he will be signing in a session at 9:30 Saturday morning. So just a way to give the author another chance to reach readers another chance to connect with the authors, and the booksellers another opportunity to sell those books. All of those additional signings will be posted on our website soon, and they'll be on a sign in the Omni as well. That's Saturday, March 25.
Yeah, and thank you for mentioning that. It's also worth mentioning, giving a shout out to the local bookstores, because you work with all of them.
Absolutely. There are so many components to this festival. It really could not happen without the help of hundreds and hundreds of people, including the booksellers who order the books and have them available for sale and signing after every program in the venue. There are a lot of festivals that will have sort of a central sales and signing place. We have always done it, you know, in the same location. You hear that author speak, you want that book, it's right there. In addition, we have hundreds of volunteers who help put this together and then help run the programming, and just all of the support from the community.
And I hinted at this at the beginning. I want to close because we have like 45 seconds. Your cooperation with Jody Kielbasa, the Vice Provost of the Arts, and the Virginia Film Festival.
Yeah, a little fellow named Brian Cranston.
A little fellow named Brian Cranston, whom we all know as Walter White, who has, of course he has, now written a book.
And it's a fun read.
And he's going to be at the JPJ Arena on Sunday, March, whatever that is.
March 26th. Sunday, March 26th at 2 o'clock.
And I hope you all got your tickets. That's going to be a big one.
That's free. You need a ticket, and tickets are still available. Go to vabook.org to find out how to get them.
Jane, thank you so much for coming in. My guest, Jane Kuhlow, the director of the Virginia Festival of the Book. This is Sean McCord, your monthly host on the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call. This has been fun. Let's have you back again next year.
Thank you so much, Sean.
This has been the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. The Wake-Up Call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Production assistance and engineering from Sean McCord and Mike Friend. Be sure to join Rick next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for the Wake-Up Call, only on WPVC-LP Charlottesville.